Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching, and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Man, God has great plans. Those plans started long before 12 years ago, but can we give it up for 12th anniversary of Rock Harbor Church? I'm going to ask if you would, if you do the little shuffle, the 12th anniversary honorarium shuffle, as much as you can this way to make room for more people. They're starting to set up chairs. We want to make room. So if you can, don't just look at me with that kind of like, hey, what's up? Where's the worship? Why is this guy talking? Just do this until there's no more room of doing that, and then you can be seated. Okay, you can be seated. Go ahead. All right. Thank you so much for making room. That way we can get everybody in here. But this is my wife, Chris Anna, and so we got the privilege of being part of Rock Harbor starting 12 years ago. And so these are not Seattle Seahawks shirts, okay, just so everyone knows. They're a little more like Raiders colors, but we know that the Raiders people, they ain't preaching the gospel, that's for sure. So let's just be honest. But we put together a top 12 list in honor of the 12th anniversary, okay? So, Christina, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, number one, one borrowed trailer, one donated computer, and one big God.
Yes, let's celebrate that. Come on, yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. Number two, two local churches, Stonehill, as well as Redeemer Church that were planted out of Rock Harbor, and almost 17,000 people at church on Easter between those three churches. I was gonna say two faithful shuttles, but I didn't. Yes.
Number three, 3,283 baptisms so far, plus many today.
Yes. Four, our services go 4 minutes over every single week. 4 minutes over. Nope, ain't getting no hi-hat.
Number five founding faith-filled families in our living room from back in January 2012.
Yeah, that was awesome. Let's give it up for that launch team. Okay, six. 6 minutes over, let's be honest. 6 minutes over, it's Travis's fault, okay? Boom. Or we could just, you know, give shout out to the 6,000 green pins that we go through each week, okay? Yes, we do. Thank you. Nice catch, even on Master Sunday.
Number seven, only seven more parking lots needed.
Yeah, only seven. We keep moving that up on this list. Okay, eight. Speaking of parking, honey, we only get 8 comments on Nextdoor each week because of our parking. Yes, we do. No, don't even hi-hat. Just do. Okay. We got to work this out. We got a couple more services.
Number nine years portable at Rocky Mountain High School.
Yes, let's give it up for Rocky Mountain. How awesome it was to be able to be there. We're very, very thankful for them. 10, okay? We have studied through 10 books in the Old Testament and 13 in the New. Can we give it up for God's faithful word?
Number 11, 11 churches planted in the U.S. and globally.
Yes, church planting. We always desire to be a healthy church that plants healthy churches. And last, number 12.
Cheers to 12 more years.
Yes. Well, we want to say thank you to all of you. We're honored to be able to be here from day one, but many of you were around, maybe you came a little bit later, but what a privilege it's been. It is God's absolute faithfulness. It's not one person, it's not one family, it's not just the five families. It is how God wants to reach people and use lots of churches to do that. We just happen to be one of them. We want to invite out one of those five faith-filled families in Todd and Darcy Gill. So yeah, welcome them. So Todd and Darcy were on the leadership team. Todd became an elder. Then he quit, and then we recruited him back because he wanted a pay increase. It's a long story. But anyways, glad you're back serving as an elder.
Yeah, thank you. It has been a long story. Darcy and I have been honored to know Keith and Chrisanna for the last 25 years. We were young marrieds together. Our kids were born about the same time. Keith and Chrisanna were in the youth group, and we got to watch our families grow. And then as God started to build a foundation for Rock Harbor, Darcy and I were privileged to be part of and one of those first families to start Rock Harbor together. And it's amazing to see what God has done, starting in that living room. We prayed for God to do big and amazing things, but we couldn't even dream of what God has done. And as part of that, we know that your faithfulness has been fantastic, and God has been faithful. But we also know that serving in Rock Harbor for the last 12 years can take a toll on you and your family. So the elders have decided to give Keith and Chrisanna a three-month sabbatical this summer, starting June 1st, so June, July, and August. And Keith and Chrisanna, we want you to unplug, recharge, and the elders want you guys to get that rest you need for the next 12 years of ministry.
Thank you.
But what can we do to honor Keith and Chrisanna when they're gone? Being faithful in our attendance and being faithful in our service to the church. We have an incredible team that is not going to miss a beat during the 3 months that they're gone. We will miss you guys, but we know this is going to be a fantastic time for them. So join me in congratulating and thanking Keith and Chrisanna. It's that name again for 12 years. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your amazing leadership and guidance for this church. Lord, we are amazed at what you have done. Lord, we just thank Keith and Chrisanna for their faithful service. Lord, just bless them during this sabbatical that they get that rest and that renewal that they need for this ministry. Lord, we just thank you for your incredible grace for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. So, hey, Chrisanna, real quick, would you mind giving the message today? Good. Okay, see you guys. I'm going to start that sabbatical. No, I'm kidding. No, she's got plenty of stories on me. You've heard all the ones I've shared. You're probably bored of them at this point. But there's this video that I shot 12 years ago, and this is supposed to be like, hey, let's remember, let's look back, and it's this childlike, soft-skinned young teenager, Keith, that shot a video on the side of a hill before there was a Rock Harbor. And so it's kind of a roast, okay? It's a little bit of like, let's roast Keith and make him introduce a video where he looks like an absolute goob. All right, here we go. We're above the valley, specifically Meridian, Idaho, the place that God has called us to. It's a safe place for people to come and search and find out about God. The vision that he's given us, the people that he's drawn together to do his great work is amazing. I'm so excited about what is ahead. I have no idea. It has been a unique and crazy and ridiculous journey thus far, and it ain't gonna stop. It's gonna get more crazy, more ridiculous, and it's gonna be God-sized. I cannot wait to see what he's gonna do. Today is January 25th, 2012. I have no idea what's ahead in the next month, in the next year, but I know it's gonna be all about him and all about his gospel. Oh, man. Well, it is amazing to be able to look back and see what God has done and look back and see that I did hit puberty about a year after that. And so, praise God, you know, I was like a late bloomer by about 20 years. But it's awesome. And looking at that video, I'm seeing like the empty valley. You know, that's literally right off of Meridian Road. And to know that there are houses below that now in this city and our valley has grown and God has made it greater and greater impact through churches that are here in this valley, and then also just being able to be part of that and knowing that he's doing something. There's a revival. I've always said that he's bringing people here. What if it's not for a better way of life? What if it's not for a community with certain like parks and amenities? What if it's like He's bringing people to him. He's bringing people here. They're going to look for community, and they're going to find it in some amazing gospel teaching churches. And then he's also going to use people like you. This is an evangelistic group of people sharing the gospel every day in regular walk of life, but then also bringing people into community and watching how many people have come to Christ and many people being baptized, and watching today people that plan to be baptized and then those that had no plans to be baptized but chose to be baptized today. And so what an amazing day to be able to honor him in that. And I just want to say thank you. It's going to be weird for me to clap, so if you join me, thank you, Rock Harbor, for all that you have done to grow the Lord's kingdom. He wants to reach people. He would wish that no one would perish. He has a place that's prepared for you if you're in Jesus Christ, and he would desire for you to spend eternity with him. But sin stands in the way. So I get to talk about what it looks like to really follow him. We don't take ourselves too seriously around here, obviously, but we do like to have a lot of fun, and we like to enjoy ourselves, but we're intentional about it, okay? We take the gospel very seriously, and in this series, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things to you. So anything you would worry about, don't worry if you have the proper order in your life, and it's this. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. And in that, you've got to be intentional. So when I talk about discipleship last week, I said, hey, discipleship is relationships plus intentionality towards Jesus. So we need to be about relationships, in relationship with one another, building community with one another. Outside, I mean, we're here for some, an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, depending on, you know, how many services you serve out, what you do during the week, if you're in Reengage or Regen or Anchor or Slingshot, you know, marriage ministry, whatever the thing is. We know this, life is better in community. And so we want to see us continue in that relational effort, but it's going to take intentionality in order to do it. And so I don't know if you've ever done you shared a message, or you're a teacher, or you're lecturing your kid, and then you're like, dang it, I missed that one point. I should have thrown that in there, because I had that happen to me this last week. I'm looking at last week's message, and I'm like, reading Acts 9, I'm looking at Saul coming to Jesus in this moment, and the Holy Spirit comes up on him, and then I'm like, I skipped a point. See, like, look at my outline, okay? The first thing was receive someone. Saul received someone, being Jesus. He said, yes, Lord. And he says, why do you do this? And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He surrendered to the authority of God in his life through Jesus Christ. Went from persecuting Christians to then being persecuted for being a Christian. Boom, nailed step one. Step two, join someone. He joined in a small group. Remember, he showed up at Bible studies. People were like, dude, Saul used to kill Christians, like check his pockets for stones, get the stone detector out. You know, there wasn't such a thing. I make stuff up. I've been doing it for 12 years. It's dumb, but laugh, or I'll keep going until you laugh, okay? And then that was joining someone, a group. Then what did he do? He served someone because he had a gift. He started serving within the church. He had a gift of speaking. Everybody has different gifts. But he said, I'm going to serve the church. And he received a lot of heat for that. And I'm like, boom, nailed the message. Monday, wake up. I'm an idiot. I skipped that one thing. It's 1.5. I should have. And he did. He followed someone. What did he do? Well, there was a man named Ananias that came to him. He looked at Ananias and said, he arose and was baptized. See, the reason I'm sitting down today, it's not because I'm trying to get ready for my sabbatical, okay? Because, you know, I'll preach in a couple weeks, I'll be in a recliner. By week 5, right before the sabbatical, I'll be in a, what are those called, a hammock. Okay, I'm not like getting in mood to just recline and chill. It's because I don't want to be persuasive. I don't want to do what I do. Sometimes I like run around, I do stuff, I drive the camera people crazy. We've had people threaten to quit if Keith keeps running around stage. I did dance moves the other week. I shared it on Instagram. None of you liked it. I shared it 3 times. I keep liking my own status because I go all over the place and I do stuff. Here's what I know, okay? What I'm going to share with you today is truth. It's not going to be the persuasion of, oh, because Keith did this or Keith said that or someone did this or it was this one song. I want it to be the truth of God received by the followers of Jesus. And those that do not follow Jesus, how amazing would it be? Not because it's the 12th anniversary, but how amazing would it be for you to open your hands and say, I surrender my life to God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that he came, I believe that he died and he rose again, and I receive life in Jesus Christ. I mean, there's nothing greater than that. I mean, it's not donuts and like different things. It's literally like, I am walking from death to life because of Jesus Christ, and today is that day. That's worthy of being preached. That's worthy of being shared. But what you're going to see in what I share today, there's no coaxing. Saul wasn't, who's Paul, by the way, I call him both names, but he's not like, Ananias didn't have to say, hey, bro, you need to go get baptized. Like, you need to do that. That's what people do. He knew. Saul knew that people got baptized. He knew that Jesus was baptized. He was persecuting and apprehending Christians. He knew exactly what they did, and when he became one, he did exactly what Jesus did and what believers and followers of Jesus did. No one had to say, by the way, here's your next step. They knew, because it was an identifying factor. So when I share this truth today, I just want us to hear that through the lens of Scripture, not through my persuasion. In verse number 18, it says, he then arose and was baptized. Then it says in verse 22 that he was increased in his strength. You know why? Because obedience builds a strength in you and I. Man, think about a relationship. Think about trusting a child. Like the obedience that comes, the trust that's built, the strength that's built, like Saul is growing in his strength, not just physically, but to be able to withstand. I mean, this dude was super intelligent. And now all of a sudden, he's like actually nervous because people don't trust that he really has Christ. And so he is like leaning hard in his weakness on the strength of God. He's growing in strength. Then it says in verse 23 that the enemy's plotting to kill him. He went from being the persecutor to the persecuted, and they want to kill him because he is boldly identifying that he's in Jesus Christ, and they're making threats upon him. You know why? Because he went public. See, that's the thing about our salvation. That's the thing about following Jesus. Our following of Jesus, it's not a private faith. It's a personal faith. And private and personal are two different things. See, if he was going to be private, then he would say, this is just for me. I don't need to be baptized, or I don't need to do anything. It's private between me and God. Personal is different, because personal is between us and God, but then additional, you share your story, which is what baptism is. It's the sharing of your story that you're in Christ, because you're saying, I once was dead, buried, resurrection. I've been made new in Jesus Christ. So he's sharing his story by this act. He went public. If you're not facing persecution in your life, if you're not facing the plotting of the enemy against you, are you public in your faith? Or is it just a private thing? I mean, it can be a personal faith, but it should be a public faith too. That we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Then we'll be raised. Then we'll be saved. That all, everyone can do this. We don't perform our way to it. No, we receive our way. I just kind of put a timeline down about Saul's life, that he had a personal faith that resulted in following and surrender. He obeyed. This obedience produced a surrender to God, but it also began to build strength in him, because that's what obedience does. He began to be strengthened, filled by the Holy Spirit, comforted by the Holy Spirit, and then the Lord is well pleased with his behavior and his action. Persecution comes from the ones that hate the work of the Lord, which is demonic, satanic influence. Satan hates the fact. These people that have already made a decision to be baptized today, and those that are going to, do you understand how angry Satan is? Satan wants us to have a 12th anniversary and make it about us, not about Jesus. But people are making it about him. People are going public. They're identifying in Jesus Christ. And then with this, we watch Paul's life be blessed, because he begins living for the eternal kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's seeking first now. And everything else is going to be taken care of. He may be persecuted in this life, but he's not controlled by that. Have you identified with Jesus? Have you been baptized? Baptized by immersion, not sprinkled as a child or someone else was doing this. Like, no one gets baptized accidentally, just so you know. I mean, unless you're a pastor's kid. Because, you know, like, you want to be like your dad and that kind of thing. I mean, my kids, we have three kids that are biological. So before we adopted Yemi, brought her home. Our other little kids are running around the house. And then we have Natty and Maji and Zeke. Anyways, long story, seven kids, two pregnancies, whatever. Point is this, okay? They had baptized each other in the blow-up pool in the backyard. Look at back there. I mean, they're literally 4 years old. The twins are four and Kiki's five. And they're like, I baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son. And I'm like, they're like, Dad, what do I say? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Go, Jesus. Then bring them back up. Over and over. I think we averaged 50 baptisms on our street per week. They baptized a neighbor kid named Everett. I'm like, bro. And then so Lisa's over. I'm like, dude, you can't just be baptizing people. And they're like, but they wanted to. They even baptized me. I'm like, okay, whatever. So, you know, you Bob the Builder. Bob the Builder. Oh, Bob the Baptizer. I don't know. But I'm thinking about creating a line with Mattel. Or is that a thing anymore? Mattel? Still around? It's probably been bought out. It's probably woke. Anyways, okay, Matthew 3. Okay, Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 16, stop it. Didn't say it in any other service. Never saying it again. Never happened. Never happened. 12th anniversary. I'll cancel you. You cancel me. Back to Jesus, Matthew 3, verse 16. But when Jesus was baptized, see, we say we follow him, but then sometimes we don't. But when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, like the heavens were opened to him, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was baptized, but not for the forgiveness of sin. Think about that. Like if Jesus is going to get baptized, like so when people are like, hey, you need to get baptized because that's where the water washes away your sins. I'm going down the river so I can get my sins washed away. No, it's not that. Jesus was baptized because this was the identifying factor of being a follower of him, because John the baptizer, John the Baptist, baptized him. And John was his cousin. So he watched the perfection lived out. And then this moment, I mean, so amazing. The Holy Spirit comes like a dove. It's a picture. And then you have God the Father. Think about that. Saying to the Son in the presence, like, it's in you. I'm well pleased. It's my beloved. I love you greatly. Being obedient, saying this is the way and this is how you identify. Do you identify in Christ in this way? See, that's the story of Jesus, but then also we see throughout Scripture other people being baptized. One, an Ethiopian man, one chapter back from Acts 9, where we've been studying, we'll keep studying, but Acts 8, verse 36, and they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He knew that Christians, followers of Jesus, it was called followers of the way back then, but followers of the way, they would get baptized. And he says, Philip says to him, hey, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answers and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Interesting. He sees the water and he's like, hey, Uber chariot, stop. It was a big thing, whole app, whole thing back then. But he stops because he sees water. And he's like, hey, so we're going to go do this thing really quick, but just wait here. I didn't want to lose his chariot, right? And it says that both Philip the eunuch, they go down into the water. He baptizes them. And when they came up out of the water, no one had to coax him. He says, what keeps me from being baptized? What hinders me? What stands in the way? Like, let's do this. And he does it. With Jesus, we see he put him immediately, he went in and was baptized, brought him out immediately, which I think is important because John the Baptist was his cousin, and you got to believe he wanted to hold him a little extra under. But he brought him out immediately. There was a guy in the last service. How many of you guys remember Chris, who, when we didn't have service because of the snow, he came to church and I just walked out and he goes, bro, canceling service, are you a wuss? And I was like, bro, chill with your big old four-wheel drive truck. Are you a wuss, but you're hiding it behind a four-wheel drive truck? And he's like, you want to start something? I said, yeah. So I said, can I hop in your truck? He said, yeah. And I led him to Christ in the parking lot. That guy, yeah, let's celebrate it. That guy got baptized at the last service and everybody in his region group said, hold him under. I said, man, dude, like, I can't. Like, Jesus immediately came up out. Like, I want to be like Jesus, but I am so tempted. I should have. Especially afterwards, he hugged me, got my shirt all wet. I had to put it in a dryer. It smells like mildew. It smells like Chris. Anyways, here's the point, okay? No one had to coax him into it. No one had to coax the eunuch into, like, you need to do this. Paul, Saul, you need to do this. You have to do this. So I don't want to be persuasive in what I'm sharing. I think it's important for us to go, what does the Bible say, and am I willing to do it? What did Jesus do, and am I willing to follow him? Because first, personal faith in Jesus, it means we're believing. Like the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not about achieving. Because notice, he's like, what prevents me? And he says, belief is the only thing that prevents you. He didn't say you need to go to church for a little while, you need to rack up a few Sundays in a row, you need to start serving, you need to be generous. After 5 years, you'll pay for some of your sins. No, you need to get baptized into this or baptized for this person. Or he didn't say any of that. It wasn't for some sacrament that gave him something, which many faiths teach that. No, you believe. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and you'll be saved. And everyone's to believe. And 27 times throughout the New Testament, it says, they believed and were baptized. It's repetitive. It's the same thing. And why? Because it's a picture of death. I was alive, doing my own thing, but not alive in Christ. Man, I was dead in Christ. I'm giving my life over to him. And as a symbol of that, I'm going to be baptized because he was. It's death. Burial underneath the water, raised, new life in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. There's no pictures in this world or stories or episodes or series that we all binge. Like, what's something good to watch than this right here? God writes the best stories, and he writes incredible stories through the lives of people. And the reason I love baptism story, I hear baptism weekend, I hear a lot of stories. I hear story after story, and sometimes people are reading them. Sometimes I'm talking in the back. Sometimes I'm walking down to the river with them. So it's all different things. I mean, after service last time, I didn't even make it out to the auditorium to sing because there was story after story after story. There was a kid named Seth. He's not a kid. He's 23. No facial hair. Hopefully he'll get some. Anyways, we're talking, and he's like, I surrendered my life to Jesus. This church has changed my life. He couldn't talk, and tears were coming from his eyes, and I'm watching it hit the concrete below us. I said, I'm just going to pray for you, because he couldn't even talk. I didn't want to be one of those people that are like, what are you crying about? And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to do that. But I just laid my hand on his shoulder, and I just prayed for him. Story after story after story. We've all had our lives changed by different stories that we've heard. But nothing like the story of Jesus, nothing like Jesus saying, like, you can be made alive in me. There's a guy named Dirk and his wife, Nada. They attend church here. And it's been a tough year for them. It's been a tough few years. Their daughter, Riley, they have been married for a few years, but they're like, they've been dealing with his cancer diagnosis. It's been pretty tough. And a tough part about it is the fact that it's been ongoing, multiple treatments. One of our pastors, Gary, he went down, he's over care. He went down and visited him in Salt Lake, and he was getting all this treatment. And last summer when baptism at the river went to happen, we're down there at the river, and all of a sudden Sam and I are baptizing this lady, and she says, this was a personal decision. My husband can't be here. He's in Utah getting treatment, but I need to follow the Lord in this, and I want to be baptized. It was literally like I was hearing the words of Scripture, what would hinder me? I don't know if anybody came down with her. I know I saw a picture from the bridge, so I don't know if she like asked someone to take a picture with my phone. I know she got this picture from the team here, but she didn't want to miss out on the opportunity. And then on top of this, craziest thing began to change her life. She'd already surrendered her life to Christ, but the year they've had in praying for healing, it's been really tough. I got a call last Monday that Dirk is not doing good at all, and hospice is at the house. And they said, if you could make it in the next couple of days, Keith. So Gary and I go over to the house, and he said, I want to be baptized. And I said, well, what are we going to use? So we're like, okay, I've used a Dickie's cup before, and that's awesome. Barbecue's close to Jesus, so I'm like, maybe a Dickie's cup. And I'm not going to use a Stanley cup ever, just so you know. I will not use a Stanley cup. God's not over that. If it's a Stanley thermos that's rattled around the bed of your pickup for a while, we'll pray about it. Probably could happen. But they're like, what if we get a washcloth? I'm like, okay. So we get this washcloth, and I go into the bathroom, and I immersed this in the water, okay? He's in a hospital bed. I couldn't immerse him in anything, but I got this and I got it wet. And I just said, Dirk, I could just wet your brow, but you deserve a little bit more. So I wrung the whole thing out on him. He had friends and family. He had his community group. There were four people there. We were worshiping. We were singing together. We were singing that song, Always Faithful, that we do. And it's this moment of like, always faithful, God, no matter what we go through. I'm sitting there talking to him and we are just weeping and just having this moment. And I said, hey, Dirk, what do you want me to tell people on Sunday? And he said this. He said, just believe. Just believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, tell them to just do it. And I'm literally, again, first through his wife, now through him, I'm this, what hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you from being baptized? And I didn't know if I was going to be announcing to you today that Dirk went to be with Jesus. He was able to listen to the last service. He's able to smile a little bit, squeeze a hand. As I'm telling thousands of people today, what's hindering you? And it's honestly, I think Dirk would be annoyed if he was honored in this. I had to like steal this from their house. He would be bothered if he knew like much more, like he doesn't want it about him. He wants it about Jesus. In these last moments of his life, it's not salvation. It's going, I want to identify fully in him. I want step 1.5. I want to be like Jesus. And this is a step I can be like Jesus. And if it helps other people be like Jesus, let's go. Let's go. Let's go into eternity being like Jesus. Let's go into eternity with a personal faith. Not a private one, a personal one. Would you bow your heads with me? Just in this moment right now, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I think it's important to know, like, that is the first and greatest, most important step, and it's one that the Lord has to orchestrate. It's not one that, well, I prayed this prayer. The verse for a reason says it's to believe in your heart and to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And so right now, if God has moved in your heart for you to surrender your life to him, for you to become a follower, for you to submit under his authority, to make him the Lord of your life, I invite you to pray with me right now. God, thank you for sending your only son. Thank you for giving a gift I did not deserve. I believe your son is the Son of God, and I believe that he died, and I believe that he rose again. I'm imperfect and I've sinned, but he was perfect. So I ask forgiveness for my sin. I call on your name, the name of Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.